All right, we're going to continue our study on the book of Ezekiel. Last week, if you saw me stumbling back and forth on my pages, Keith asked me if I was having some issues with my pages. I had a page and a half of notes, and somehow I didn't get it to Lindsay to get it on the screen, so I couldn't find where you guys were. So that's why you have an additional handout from last week's that we did not able to get to. I'm going to finish last week's lesson. I'll do the recap for last week, and then I'm going to start this week's lesson. So we got out a little early last week, and probably right on time this week. So let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 2, looking in verses 2 and following, and we're going to finish this up, and then we will move into this week's lesson. Ezekiel chapter 2, looking in verse 7. "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, or for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked upon, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of the book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." Chapter 3, verse 1. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll." In verses chapter 2, verse 7 through chapter 3, verse 3, we see that, "Behold, a hand was sent unto me." Well, the question is, whose hand? Whose hand is that? In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 2, "So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll." The question is, would you want to do this job? It may sound extremely dangerous. Scrolls written on both the inside and the outside. There are only two scrolls described this way in Scripture. There are only two scrolls described this way in Scripture. One is given to Ezekiel in chapter 3, verse 1, to eat. The other is the seven sealed scrolls, which all bring judgment based on Revelation chapter 5. The other is the seven sacred scrolls, or sealed scrolls, which all bring judgment based on Revelation chapter 5. You see in the latter part of chapter 2, lamentations, mourning, and woe. It accurately summarizes the contents of Ezekiel chapter 4 through about 32. It does not, however, reflect the latter part of this book in which the prophet spoke of Israel's restoration. This could explain why Ezekiel would be recommissioned in chapter 33. The content of his message was substantially changed after his message of which was fulfilled. In Ezekiel chapter 3, we began the idea of the preparation of the prophet. We talked about the captivity prophets before we really got into the book. We looked at Daniel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. The preparation of the prophet, looking back at Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a different type of individual from Ezekiel. Jeremiah was the prophet of the brokenhearted, tears often streaming from his eyes. Jeremiah was a different type of individual from Ezekiel. He was the prophet of the brokenhearted, tears often streaming from his eyes. At this crucial moment in history, God needed Jeremiah to let his people know that it was breaking his heart to send them into captivity. Furthermore, at this time, the temple had not yet been burned, nor the city of Jerusalem destroyed. It would not be until 7 years after this delegation of captives arrived in Babylon that the destruction would occur. Therefore, the false prophets were telling the people that they were God's people and they would go back home. They said to this man Ezekiel, "Who do you think you are telling us these things? We are God's people and we are going to go back into our land. We will not be in captivity for a long time." But God had told Ezekiel, "You tell them they are not going back. They're going to be in captivity for 70 years, just as Jeremiah said." In verses 8 through 3, we're going to be looking at receive the word within. Receiving the word within. This would have made much better sense if I had continued this last week without that mess up. Being a priest, Ezekiel knew that the Hebrew scripture pictures God's word as food to be received within the heart and digested inwardly. If you think back at the book of Job, Job valued God's word more than his necessary food. Now, the recap from last week. That was concluding last week's lesson. The recap for last week. We're going to run through this real quick. I'm not 100% sure if I told Lindsay to put it on the screen. If it's not there, Mike, that's fine. But the recap from last week, we looked at the Babylonian captivity actually took place in three sieges, but it had been extensively prophesied well in advance based on Isaiah chapter 29, verses 5 through 7. The point we looked at last week was the call of the prophet. Apparently, after the vision Ezekiel had seen, he was not standing up, but was down in his face. He will now receive a call, a commission, and an endowment. In verse 3, God says, "They are a rebellious nation. They have rebelled against him, and they are impudent children." The idea of nation, Israel is usually contrasted with the nations that have become lo ami, or not the people of God. In verse 4, we read, "I do send unto them." When God calls you to do something, he empowers you to do it. In verse 6, Moses admonished the Jews to live on God's word as well as the bread, manna, that the Lord supplied daily. That's referenced in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 4. But having seen the glorious throne of the sovereign Lord, Ezekiel knew that he had all the help he needed to obey the will of God. The only motivation that never fails is doing all for the glory of God. Now, session 4, where we're going to get to this evening and begin. The preparation of the prophet. Session 4 begins with the preparation of the prophet. Verse 1, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel." There is a similar passage used by one of the captivity prophets by the name of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 15, 16. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me, and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by the name, O Lord God of hosts." The question is, shouldn't we also? No man ought to preach the word whose heart is not in it. No man ought to preach the word whose heart is not in it, and who does not believe every word he says. The pulpit is a place to declare God's word. No man ought to preach the word if his heart is not in it. I referenced to you at the beginning in the outline of this book the reference of Son of Man. Again, this is the title the Lord gave Ezekiel in this hard job, in the suffering he would experience. As you continue to read, you'll see the latter part. "Eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak to the house of Israel." This is quite a diet. He is to eat the word of God, and the word of God should become a part of us. But now the time comes to digest his words. To digest his words. In verse 2 of chapter 3, "So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll, and that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." In verses 2 and 3, we see that you have to love the word of God before it will ever become meaningful to you. The word of God reveals a person to you, and then you fall in love with him. The word of God reveals a person to you, and then you fall in love with him. Ezekiel said, "It was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." He loved the word of God. In verses 4 through 27, I guess is the meat of this chapter. It's going to take a couple of weeks to go through it. We begin with declaring the word of the Lord. What the people needed more than anything else was to hear the word of the Lord even before the nation fell. Even before the nation fell. Jeremiah had warned them not to listen to the false prophets, but neither the leaders nor the common people would obey. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so, and what will ye do in the end thereof? In the following chapter, Jeremiah chapter 6, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. God had spoken loudly. God had spoken loudly in Israel's shameful defeat and captivity. God had spoken loudly in Israel's shameful defeat and captivity. But now the Jews were still clinging to empty hopes and listening to the lying words of the false prophets in Babylon. The human heart, there's a lot of truth here, the human heart would rather hear lies that bring comfort than truths that bring conviction and cleaning. The human heart would rather hear lies that bring comfort than truths that bring conviction and cleaning. There's four titles or four viewpoints of these verses 4 through 27 of chapter 3, that we're going to break down and looking at a couple of those this evening. Ezekiel declared God's word as a messenger in chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. A sufferer in chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. A watchman in chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. And closes it out with a sign in verses 22 through 27 of chapter 3. Point number one, that of the messenger. In verses 4 through 9, there are three elements involved here: speaking, receiving and understanding the message, and obeying that message. First part, speaking. Speaking. In verse 4 it says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them." The latter part of verse 4 was God's commission, and Ezekiel was the messenger. The people of Israel was the audience. And the word of God was the message to be delivered. The prophet was not allowed to send a substitute messenger, nor was he permitted to alter the message or go to a different place. I want you to think about that line for a moment. Ezekiel was the messenger, the people of Israel was the audience, and the word of God was the message to be delivered. But then it follows with, the prophet was not allowed to send a substitute messenger, nor was he permitted to alter the message or go to a different place. When God calls you, if God's calling you to the ministry, if God's calling you to share the gospel, whatever it may be, there's a reason that God called you. God's calling is evident. If God is genuinely calling you, take it from someone who's been there. You better listen to the call before He gets your attention. There's a reason He didn't call maybe someone else, and He called you, whether it be to teach or to sing or whatever it may be. God calls you. You're the messenger. Your audience may be the church, Sunday school class, or the school that you're in, and the message is the Word of God. If He called you, don't send a substitute, and don't change or alter the message. One of the Old Testament words for preaching was kerusso in the original text, which means to proclaim as a herald. To proclaim as a herald. In ancient days, rulers would send out royal heralds to convey their message to the people. And the herald was obligated to deliver the message just as he received it. If Ezekiel wanted to be a faithful herald, every part of God's commission had to be obeyed, even to the last detail. You want to be faithful? You answer the call that God has for you, and you share it in the way that God is calling you to share it. The first part, verse 4, we look at speaking. In verses 5 through 7, we're going to look at the second of receiving. To receive the Word of God means to understand it and take it into the heart and the mind. To receive the Word of God means to understand it and take it into the heart and the mind. Before we read those verses, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19 reads, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." In Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, we read, "For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent it to them, and they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." Since Ezekiel was a chosen prophet of the Lord, what he said was important, and the people were obligated to receive it. He was speaking their own language, so they could not make excuses and say, "We do not understand what you are saying." He understood their speech, and they understood his. If God had sent Ezekiel to a nation that he had to use an interpreter, they would have understood his message and received it, but his own people turned a deaf ear to him. Jesus used a similar approach when he condemned the Jewish cities for rejecting him. He had done those same miracles in the heathen cities, and they would have repented and turned to him. We look at speaking. We look at receiving, verses 5 through 7. In verses 7 through 9, the third element is obeying. Obeying. Verse 7, "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder from the flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." The third element is that of obeying. In this case, Ezekiel was being called to his own people. However, God tells him up front, "They will not hear you because they would not hear me." Why would God send Ezekiel if he knew the people would not listen? So that God might be just when he judges. So that God might be just when he judges. Ezekiel was in the second deportation, and with the captives in Babylon, while Jerusalem remained a vassal city. As long as Jerusalem had not fallen, as long as Jerusalem had not fallen, Ezekiel's message would be to his people, admonishing them to flee idolatry and return to the Lord. But there's always that remnant. We've talked about it numerous times in the last year or so, looking at Daniel and now Ezekiel. For the remnant that did hear him, that was valuable. But the period of grace finally ran out, and God's judgment fell on the city of Jerusalem. For the remnant that did hear him, that was valuable. But the period of grace finally ran out, and God's judgment fell on the city of Jerusalem, and the rest of the people were brought into captivity. That is the point of time when Ezekiel's message shifted. That is the point of the time when Ezekiel's message shifted. That is also when our attention is picked up, because he will talk about our current day and it will become contemporary very quickly. Ezekiel was first called to the house of Israel, then to you and to me. This book is more than just biblical background. It has something to say to us personally. Rather than acknowledging God's judgment and confessing their sins, the Jewish exiles viewed their time in the Babylon as a temporary setback that would be alleviated by their soon return to Jerusalem. They refused to admit their sin or to believe the threat of the impending judgment on their disobedient nation. God does not send his messengers to his people to entertain them or give them good advice. He expects us to obey what he commands. Unfortunately, the nation of Israel had a tragic history of disobedience to the law of God and rebellion against the will of God. That was their record during the 40 years in the wilderness, based on Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came into this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. This was their record over 800 years in their own land, based on 2 Chronicles chapter 36. No other nation has been blessed by God as Israel has been blessed. For the Jews had God's holy law. The covenants. A wealthy land. And the temple. No other nation had been blessed by God as Israel had been blessed. For the Jews had God's holy law, the covenants, a wealthy land, and the temple, and the prophets to give them warnings and promises they needed. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, we read, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from God, from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh of Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. God assured his prophet that he would give him all he needed to withstand their opposition and disobedience. Verse 8 of chapter 3 reminds us of this. I read it a moment ago. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. Sometimes it is good to be hard-headed. That's how I'm going to justify that. In this verse, there's a play on words involving Ezekiel's name. We talked about this in the introduction and in the first week, which means God is strong or God strengthens. It also means God hardens. And here's what it means on the play on words if you study this. And in verse 8, if the people harden their hearts and faces, God will harden His servant and keep him faithful to His mission. He gave a similar promise to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. I completely understand the faces when you're delivering a message, and sometimes it doesn't change when people aren't listening to what God is calling you to listen to. We looked at point number one, the messenger. In verses 10 through 15, we're going to look at in detail the sufferer. Verse 10 and following. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up and heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of God from his place. I heard and also the noise of the wings of living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and the heat of the spirit, my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of captivity at Tel Abib, that I dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them at 7 days, the sufferers. Ezekiel was by the river Chebar when he saw the vision and heard God's word based on Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 3. But now he was commanded to join the other exiles at a place called Tel Abib. This site has not been identified, but it was not the same location as the modern Tel Aviv, where there were a number of villages along the river. Back in Ezra chapter 2 verse 59, you see its reference there. But in Ezra chapter 8, verse 17, we have the idea at the latter part of that reference that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. It gives you the idea of the geography of where we're talking about on the river of Chebar. Just as there were many villages there, some of the Jewish captives had been settled there by the Babylonians. But the Spirit of God, lifted the prophet up and took him to the place where the captives were gathered together and probably praying. We just read it. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 12, then the Spirit took me. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 14, so the Spirit lifted me up. Ezekiel would no doubt recall that the prophet Elijah had been called away by God. The prophet had received God's word, and now he must take it to God's people. As the Spirit began to work in these verses of Scripture, Ezekiel heard behind him several sounds. First, the rustling of the cherubim's wings. The whirring of the wheels. And the noise of a great rushing, like an earthquake. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He knew that God's glorious throne was moving, and the Lord was working out His purposes. He knew that God's glorious throne was moving, and the Lord was working out His purposes. Now, if you study different translations, some do. I have the King James, which I preach out of 100% of the time, just about it. But I have the NIV and the NASB and the CSB and all those other ones with a B behind it. But what was the original, or what was the origin of the statement of verse 12? If you have a different translation, I'll explain something to you. It says, "Blessed be the glory of the Lord from His place." Both the King James and the New American Standard translated as coming from the cherubim. But the NIV suggests that it was Ezekiel himself who spoke. However, it could be also translated as "the glory of the Lord arose from His place," a description rather than a declaration. As we shall see in chapters 8 through 11, the movement of God's glory is a key theme in this book. The Lord brought His servant to Tel Abib so He could sit with the captives and feel their burden of disappointment and of grief. In Psalm 137, this reveals both their misery and their hatred for the Babylonians. When they should have been repenting and seeking God's face, the Jews were regretting what had happened and praying that one day they might be able to retaliate and defeat their Babylonian captors who taunted them. As Ezekiel sat down with the people, overwhelmed by what the Lord had said to him and done for him, he realized the seriousness of his calling and how great was the responsibility God has placed on his shoulders. I want you to listen to this. You don't have it in front of you. I understand that. I mentioned to you a moment ago. As Ezekiel sat down, overwhelmed by what the Lord had said unto him and done for him, he realized the seriousness of his calling and how great was the responsibility that God has placed on his shoulders. If God is calling you to do something, you need to understand and realize the seriousness of it. Each and every one of us are called to be vessels of Jesus. It is a good thing for the servant of God to be among His people, to weep with those who weep, and rejoice with those who rejoice. For He can better minister to them when He knows their hearts and feels their pain. It is a good thing for the servant of God to be among His people, to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice, for He can better minister to them when He knows their hearts and feels their pain. It's called walking along by someone in the trenches. In closing, I want to think about this last line before you close your binders and stuff, but I'm going to close with this. It is not simply enough to proclaim the message of God. It is not simply enough to proclaim the message of God. We must also seek to have the caring heart of God. Now listen to me for just a moment. That last line goes right with the loving kindness that we talked about this morning out of 1 John chapter 4. I made a statement to you to understand the difference, or to be the idea of difference, we must be different. Our life must be different. The way that we live must be different. It's so easy to proclaim the message of God, but sometimes we have to seek the will of God and look at the caring heart of God. Oh boy. As Ezekiel walks alongside these people and understands what's happening and ministering to them with the trenches and weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice, it is our responsibility to walk alongside those who are hurting and to walk alongside those who are rejoicing. Proclaiming the message is one thing, but sharing the loving kindness of God and understanding the caring heart of God is what God is calling us to do. But sometimes we're in need of a transformation, and God can allow that transformation to take place. And sometimes we're in need to walk alongside those that are in the time of trouble, in the time of heartache. We must understand the caring heart of God and show that we care about those around us and point them to the throne of God. And I hope you understand exactly what that means. God, as we look at Ezekiel and we walk through this book and we look at who you are and how mighty you are, and God, the things that you allowed him to see and experience, God, to as he prophesies in your name and warns those that are not listening, that turns a deaf ear or a blind eye to it. God, we pray and we ask that we'll be as Ezekiel, that we'll understand the seriousness of the calling. God, that we'll be as Ezekiel and understand that the message that you give us is from you and you equip us to do just that. But God, may we not be as the house of Israel, the audience in which he's delivering the message. God, may we listen to the truth that maybe calls conviction and cleansing, God, then rather listen to the false lies of the world around us. God, you're true and you're sovereign. You're the only way to heaven, and salvation is in and through you. God, if anyone is here who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, God, today can be the day of salvation. But God, may we have a heart, a caring heart as you, God, showing the loving kindness of those around us and walking through the valleys and the trenches in their time of need. God, the mountaintop is glory. Eternal security is you. And God, we long for that day that we're in your presence. We pray this and believe this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.